With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. On this episode, we're going to pick right back up with our coverage of the Alex Murdaugh trial and take a look at what transpired during day number 6. So let's pick right up with Lieutenant Britt Dove and the rest of his testimony. Lieutenant Britt Dove, forensic digital expert, says call log history missing from Alex Murdaugh's phone. Lieutenant Britt Dove, with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division's Computer Crime Center, returned to the witness stand Wednesday for his second day of testimony. After answering a few additional questions about Maggie Murdaugh's phone, Assistant Attorney General John Conrad shifted to Alex Murdaugh's cell phone. After receiving the data on Alex's iPhone, Dove processed and extracted it through special software. Some of the data was removed due to attorney-client privilege, he added. Conrad began by questioning Dove about Alex's call log. Here, we see simply a gap in calls from May 2021, then a couple of calls on June 4th on 2021, then nothing until 10:25 p.m., the night of the murders. Correct? Asked Conrad. That's correct, Dove replied. Alex's calls to Maggie's phone the night of the murders don't appear on his call log. His calls to Maggie appear on her call log. A gap like that would indicate it was removed from there, Dove added. He said the only explanation for the missing call log history is that the calls were manually removed by swiping right and hitting the red delete button. So that's certainly not good for the defense. How are you going to explain the call logs being wiped away? I mean, I guess you can explain it, but is the explanation that's going to be offered something that the jurors are going to buy? You see, whenever I'm going through these trials and listening to what these guys are saying inside of the courtroom, I'm always keeping in mind what the jurors might be thinking, because it's all fine and well to have this fantastical plot that you've created as a defense attorney and to try and present that to the jurors. That's your job. But if it's not grounded in reality and it doesn't have any sort of evidence to back it up, well, what does it really mean? And a lot of times you'll see lawyers try and employ that strategy when they're failing miserably as far as trying to find something to claw onto to get their client off. Cell phone expert documents Alex Murdaugh's movements on the night of the murders. Lieutenant Britt Dove testified Wednesday that data extracted from Alex Murdaugh's cell phone showed the movements of the device June 7th, 2021. He said that if the phone is in a person's hand or pocket, it records steps. If the device is on the seat or in the cup holder of a driving car, it would not record steps. These are the records of Alex's steps the night of June 7th, 2021, when prosecutors say Maggie and Paul Murdaugh were fatally shot at about 8:50 p.m., 6:42:12 p.m. to 6:43:55 p.m., 57 steps. 6:52:28 p.m. to 7:02:05 p.m., 283 steps. 7:03:55 to 7:11:29 p.m., 165 steps. 7:15:35 to 7:21:52 p.m., 200 steps. 7:28:36 to 7:37:11, 47 steps. 7:55 32 to 8:05 07 p.m., 270 steps. 7:41:23 to 7:48:41 p.m., 29 steps. 8:05:35 to 8:09:52, 74 steps. 9:02:18 to 9:06:47, 283 steps. Do you see any steps recorded between 8:09 p.m. and 9:02 p.m.? Asked Assistant Attorney General John Conrad. No, sir, I do not, he replied. Dove said that the iPhone's calculation of the number of steps taken are an estimate, but the time those steps are registered is precise. Alex has claimed that he ate dinner with Paul and Maggie the night of the murders, then took a nap. It's unclear when he could have squeezed in a nap based on the steps documented by his phone. And that, unlike the pinging of the cell phone data off of the towers, this is pretty strong evidence. When you start getting into GPS coordinates inside of the phone, that's when you hit pay dirt as a prosecutor. He left the house a little after 9 p.m. to visit his mother, who lives about 20 minutes away. When he returned, he said he found his son and his wife's dead body near the dog kennels on the family's sprawling hunting estate a little after 10 p.m. He repeatedly told investigators he didn't visit the dog kennels that night before allegedly making the grisly discovery. But prosecutors said in an opening statement that Paul recorded a cell phone video near the kennels at 8:44 p.m. that captured Alex's voice. So, yesterday was a rough day for the Murdaugh defense team. There was a lot of evidence presented and introduced to the courtroom that's going to be very, very difficult for the defense to navigate. Cell phone expert says the last text read on Paul Murdaugh's phone was at 8:49 p.m. A cell phone expert, Lieutenant Britt Dove, testified that the last text read on the 22-year-old Paul Murdaugh's phone the night of his murder was at 8:48:59 p.m. Don't like watching sad movies, a friend wrote to him on June 7th, 2021. No, I need something happy. Both messages were read at 8:48:59 p.m., seconds after they were sent. Approximately 36 seconds later, Paul's friend, Rogan Gibson, sent him a text message at 8:49:35 p.m. Was this text from Rogan ever read on Paul's phone? Asked Assistant Attorney General John Conrad. No, sir, it shows the status as unread, replied Dove. Conrad pointed out that the final text read on Maggie Murdaugh's iPhone was at 8:49:27, just 28 seconds after the last text message was read on Paul's phone. Prosecutors have argued that Alex Murdaugh fatally shot his wife and son at about 8:50 p.m. at the dog kennels on the family's sprawling hunting estate. And if Paul was answering those other text messages so quickly, or at least reading them, then why wouldn't he be able to answer this text message unless something happened to him? So that's what they're trying to infer here, that he was answering those text messages previously, but not anymore. And it fits right in the time where the prosecutors are saying that Alex Murdaugh killed his son and his wife. The last text Paul Murdaugh ever sent. The last text Paul Murdaugh, 22, sent before he was brutally gunned down was a movie recommendation for a friend. At 8:48:05, he suggested the film A Star Is Born in a text to his friend. Don't like watching sad movies, she wrote back at 8:48 p.m. I need something happy. Her two text messages were read on his phone at 8:48:59 p.m., but he didn't respond. He received another text from his friend Rogan Gibson at 8:49:35, but it was never read on his device. See if you can get a good picture. Marianne wants to send it to a girl we know that's a vet, Gibson wrote, referring to his dog, who was in one of Paul's kennels and had a problem with his tail. Tell him to sit and stay, and he shouldn't move around too much. About 45 minutes later, Gibson texted Maggie, tell Paul to call me. And here's where it's going to get real dicey for the defense. And that's with the next piece of evidence that was introduced. Jurors see 50-second clip allegedly placing Alex Murdaugh at the crime scene. Prosecutors played for jurors Wednesday a 50-second video recorded on Paul Murdaugh's phone at 8:44:49 p.m. "It is a video I found on Paul Murdaugh's phone," said Lieutenant Britt Dove of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division's Computer Crime Center. "The video looks like it's inside maybe a kennel area with a fence around it, and the dog I believe to be Black Lab, where he's trying to take a video of the tail of the dog," he said. Assistant Attorney General John Conrad asked Dove what can be heard in the footage. "You hear three different voices in the video. You can tell because they're so different," Dove told the jury. As the video played for jurors, Alex Murdaugh appeared to bow his head and sob. Paul's camera turned on June 7th, 2021 at 8:44:49 p.m. for roughly 50 seconds and ended at 8:45:47 p.m. Dove compared the video to the length of time the iPhone's camera was on, and they matched. "You're telling this jury today that you're certain that's when the video was recorded on Paul's phone?" asked Conrad. "Yes, sir," he replied. "The GPS data on Paul's phone showed that it was near a red roof close to Mazelle Road at the time the video was recorded. Paul was trying to take a picture of his friend's dog, whose tail was injured, to show it to a vet." Prosecutors say the video captured Alex and Maggie Murdaugh's voices, placing him at the crime scene minutes before the alleged double murder and contradicting his alibi. He told investigators that he never went to the dog kennels the evening his son's head was blown off with a shotgun and his wife was executed with a rifle at about 8:50 p.m. "It's going to be difficult as hell for them to challenge this. Three different voices on the video that close to the time of the murder, and experts coming out and saying that it's Alex's voice? Yeah, good luck, boys." Alex Murdaugh asked Maggie Murdaugh to visit Moselle night of the murders.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18 plus. Defense lawyer Philip Barber cross-examined Lieutenant Britt Dove of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division's Computer Crime Center. Dove processed Paul, Maggie, and Alex Murdaugh's phones after the double homicide. Barber had him read Maggie's earlier texts. She sent the text at 3:55 p.m., but the attorney did not disclose the recipient. "Thank you. I am waiting at a doctor. Alex wants me to come home. I have to leave the door open at Edisto, but trust Mexicans to shut and lock it for me. His dad is back in hospital. The last doctor claims no cancer. It's pneumonia," she wrote. Maggie usually stayed at the family's beach house in Edisto, while Alex and Paul resided at the family's sprawling hunting estate known as Moselle in Islington, South Carolina. Is she really going to just say something like that? "I'll have the Mexicans close the door for me"? What does that even mean? They don't have names? "I'm scared for him and Alex and all of us," she wrote at 4:06 p.m., referring to Randolph Buster Murdaugh, the third's declining health. He passed away 3 days after the double murder. During cross-examination, Dove conceded that text can be read on an iPhone without the device being unlocked or registering that they were read. He also acknowledged that the steps recorded on Maggie and Alex's iPhones were not in sync after the murders. If Alex had both iPhones, the movements would be expected to line up. Now that seems like something that the defense can bite into. How far they can take it, well, that's anyone's guess, but at least it's something. Alex Murdaugh and Maggie Murdaugh's phones apparently were not together, being moved by one person. Defense lawyer Philip Barber continued to cross-examine Lieutenant Britt Dove of the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division's Computer Crime Center on Wednesday afternoon. Barber noted, based on SLED's findings, that Maggie Murdaugh's phone orientation appeared to change for the last time, while Murdaugh's phone indicated that he was still walking towards his vehicle and calling Maggie at 9:06 p.m. on the night of the murders. It appears the phones were not together being moved by the same person because they are not recording steps, Dove testified, meaning Maggie and Alex's phones were not recording steps at the same time at 9:06 p.m. Prosecutors have argued that Alex Murdaugh fatally shot his wife and son at about 8:50 p.m. at the dog kennels on the family's sprawling hunting estate, while Murdaugh's defense team claims he was napping at the time of the murders before leaving home a little after 9 p.m. to visit his mother, who lives about 20 minutes away. When he returned, he said he found his son and wife's dead bodies near the dog kennels on the family's sprawling hunting estate at a little after 10 p.m. All right, we get it. They have a sprawling estate. Can't we just call it the family home? He repeatedly told investigators he didn't visit the dog kennels that night before allegedly making the grisly discovery. But prosecutors said in opening statements that Paul recorded a cell phone video near the kennels at 8:44 p.m. that captured Alex's voice. So after they were done with the cross-examination of Lieutenant Dove, it was time for lunch. After lunch, they came back, and it was time for another witness to take the stand. South Carolina officer says he did not find blood, gun residue on Alex Murdaugh's hands. Colleton County Sergeant Brian Vernado on Wednesday testified that he did not see any blood on Alex Murdaugh's hands when he responded to reports of murders at the Murdaugh property on June 7th, 2021. So that's also something that the defense will be able to at least point to and say, hey, look, there was no gun residue here. There was no blood. So how can you say that our client is the man responsible according to your own scenario? Alex Murdaugh is accused of fatally shooting his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul, that evening using two different firearms near the family dog kennels, though Alex claims he was napping at the time of the murders before he went to visit his mother. Vernado testified that he administered a gun residue test on Alex Murdaugh's hands after the murders and found that his hands were clean. Murdaugh was cooperative at the time, he said. The sergeant also said Murdaugh, a former prosecutor, also had no signs of blood on his hands that evening when Vernado examined them. He was shook up, Vernado said, of Murdaugh's demeanor that evening. Attorneys noted Tuesday that Vernado previously served as a witness during one of Alex Murdaugh's trials. So no residue and no blood on the hands. Did he have time to clean up? Did he have time to go change? Well, looking at the shirt he was wearing and considering the rest of his story about how he was kneeling down in the blood, something doesn't add up. A video taken by Alex Murdaugh's deceased son, Paul Murdaugh, on the evening of his 2021 slaying was presented in court Wednesday during Alex Murdaugh's double murder trial. Alex Murdaugh is accused of shooting Paul and his wife Maggie near dog kennels on their South Carolina property called Mosel on June 7, 2021. Though Alex Murdaugh claims he was never at the family dog kennels that evening and was napping during the time of the murders. The different voices, including what appears to be Paul's voice, a female voice, and another male voice, can be heard in the video taken at 8:44:47 p.m. on the night of the murders, prosecutors said on Tuesday. And you'll be able to get this video right here in the link inside of the description box. And the next witness that took the stand was talking about this video and how he was sure that it was Alex Murdaugh's voice in the video. So let's go to his testimony now, and let's see what he had to say. Paul Murdaugh's friend says he's 100% sure he hears Alex Murdaugh's voice in the video. A witness in Alex Murdaugh's murder trial testified Wednesday that he can 100% hear the disgraced South Carolina lawyer's voice in a video presented before the Colleton County courtroom. Paul Murdaugh recorded the video around 8:44 p.m. on June 7, 2021, just minutes before he and his mother, Maggie Murdaugh, were shot dead near their family's dog kennel in Islington, according to cell phone records presented by prosecutors. Paul's friends, Rogan Gibson and Will Loving, testified that they could hear Paul's, Maggie's, and Alex Murdaugh's voices in the video. Gibson described the Murdaughs as his second family. When Loving was asked if he was 100% sure that the distant male voice in the background of the video was the elder Murdaugh, he replied, "That's correct." Paul can be seen playing with one of his friends, Gibson's Chocolate Labs Cash, inside a kennel on the video he took that evening. The video and testimony present a challenge to Alex Murdaugh's claims that he was napping at the time of Paul and Maggie's murders before he drove to his mother's house. He claims he found their bodies later on, around 10 p.m., on June 7th, 2021. And the video doesn't lie. If they can prove without a shadow of a doubt that it was Alec Murdoch's voice on that video, it's a wrap, folks. Along with the GPS, big time trouble. But the question is, can they prove it definitively? Jurors see Snapchat video from Day of Murders. Will Loving testified Wednesday that his friend Paul Murdaugh sent him a Snapchat video at 7:56 p.m. about an hour before he was killed. Alex Murdaugh is seen wearing a blue shirt and long khaki pants. He and his son Paul could be heard laughing in the clip played for jurors. 2 hours later, when Alex called 911 at 10:07 p.m. to report his wife and son badly shot, he was wearing a white t-shirt and shorts. At one point during the cross-examination, Loving glowingly described the father and son's relationship. "It kind of seemed like he was the apple of his eye," Loving said. The day ended with Waters asking Loving a series of questions, including whether he was aware of Alex's mounting debts, his dwindling bank account balances, and status of the civil litigation in the deadly 2019 boat wreck. Loving replied, "No to each." Do you know anything at all about Alex being confronted on the morning of June 7th, 2021, over $792,000 of missing funds from his law firm? Waters asked, as his final question. "No, I did not," Loving replied. After the zinger, the trial broke for the day. Well, as you can see, folks, it is still in the back and forth phase here, and nothing has been proved definitively, but I will say this. It's not looking so great for Mr. Murdaugh. But things can change on a dime inside of that courtroom if new evidence is presented. So we'll be here following along to see if Alec Murdaugh did indeed kill his wife and his son. All of the information that goes along with this episode can be found in the description box.